Hey y'all, hey, it's Dr. O here for another episode of Dr. O After Dark. I am so glad that you guys tuned in on tonight because I have the wonderful Miss Alexis Solomon joining us tonight. Now let me tell you, she is a bad, bad woman. When I tell you, this chick right here, you guys are in for a wonderful treat. Now Miss Alexis is a certified hypnotherapist and a professional counselor, and she will be telling you all about herself, her journey, how we got here, and we're just gonna have some good old girl talk. Sounds good?
Yeah, thank you for having me.
You are so welcome. So tell us a little bit about, so you're a certified hypnotherapist. Mm-hmm. How did you get into that?
So I really wanted to learn different trauma approaches, and you trained me in hypnotherapy, which is great. And I do a lot of meditation approaches, and hypnotherapy is kind of like that, where it's this intense meditation, but you bring in suggestion with it. And so I was like, oh, I didn't know you could use that for helping people process their trauma. And, you know, other approaches like EMDR, brain spotting, can be really expensive to get trained in. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'd always heard about hypnotherapy, and I was like, oh, like, that seems like a really cool approach and, you know, a really popular thing. And so that kind of piqued my interest.
So you mentioned that a lot of the other trainings were very expensive, like the EMDR and the brain spotting and so on and so forth. And that is one of the things that it has been a challenge across the mental health field, is a lot of gatekeeping when it comes to, you know, access, not only access for the clients, but access for the clinicians of being able to get trained and things of that nature. So tell us a little bit, what are your thoughts on about that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I have my associate's professional license, so I'm still trying to get licensed, you know, LPC, and, you know, going through school and, you know, all of that, as you know, is expensive. And I'm just like, oh yeah, I want to do all these trauma approaches. But then you look at that, and it's like, oh, spend thousands of dollars even more to get this like certification or whatnot. And I'm like, okay, so I'm like, well, again, like what you're saying, it's not as accessible. So mm-hmm. I was like, okay, well, you know, I feel like hypnotherapy is a very holistic, somatic way of approaching trauma. And it kind of gets people relaxed and, you know, in kind of this zen space to be able to talk about really hard things so that it doesn't like hit them as hard. For like example, if we were just to talk about it like right here, like this and this happened. So I really like hypnotherapy for that fact, and that, you know, again, it's more accessible versus, you know, I mean, EMDR, it's, you know, has its benefits and everything. Like, I would still love to get trained in it. Mm-hmm. It's just expensive.
Yeah, and what happens a lot of times, as you said, when you don't have that access as a clinician, it makes it even harder to be able to go out into the communities and be able to provide service, because we don't have enough qualified and trained clinicians. And we see this, you know, across the diaspora of, you know, not just here in the United States, but all through the world, to where, especially in countries where there is, you know, high populations, but there's not many therapists or mental health professionals in those countries. And so mental health and things are not being addressed. And so I really commend you on getting in and joining in and getting certified in hypnotherapy. Now, I know it was not, because as you mentioned, I trained you, so I know it was not a, you know, easy certification. I know in part of that, you had to experience being hypnotized
yourself. Yeah.
So how was that for you?
Yeah, I know the first couple of times when we did it, where it was just kind of like the induction piece, where it's like, get in tune with your body, I just like immediately started crying, like the first time. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, where did that come from? And so, and then as we started digging deeper, like where we actually did the working phase, I was just like, ooh, like there's a lot of self-worth stuff there that's been stewing around, which I already knew, about, but I feel like the hypnotherapy really was just like, boom. It was like, it's there. It's like, what are you gonna do about it? Like, in a good way.
Yeah.
But it, yeah, it definitely brought up a lot of stuff.
Okay.
For me.
So with it, that's a great way to kind of segue into about what brought you into this field. You know, there's a saying that a lot of people say, well, there's a lot of counselors who get into the mental health field either because they have their own mental health issues or someone close to them in their family has mental health issues. And so either they're trying to figure their own self out or they're trying to figure out things within their family. Would you say that is something that resonates with you?
Oh yeah, 100%. Yeah, no, the whole reason why I got into therapy was because I did therapy like when I was like 18 and okay. Absolutely changed my life. I was like, oh my gosh, like, and I've always kind of been like the little like confidant for like all my mm-hmm. friends. Like even when I was little, I was like, oh, like I'm really good at speaking to people one-on-one. Like you can come to me like when you're sad or whatnot. And then, you know, I faced some pretty severe depression when I was in high school. And I was like, oh, I need to do something because this is like life or death here. And it absolutely changed my life, 100%.
When you were going through the depression in high school, did your parents know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I tried to hide it from them, but it was to the point where I just couldn't anymore.
How did they treat that? Were they supportive? Did they encourage you to, like, try to get you into therapy at that time or to talk to someone? Or was it just like, yeah, we kind of know that something's going on and come talk to me. Are you okay, baby? And, you know, those types of things.
Yeah, yeah. I absolutely love, love, love my parents. Again, they have very different values for me. It was like me growing up, I'm over here. My parents and my sister are over here when it comes to opinions.
Wow, okay.
And so I grew up in a very conservative Christian home where it's like, we don't talk about emotions. We don't do that. Like, what are you doing here? Now, my mom, she is very in tune with her emotions, so much so that, like, it can overwhelm her. Mm-hmm. And so it was kind of like we didn't necessarily want to talk about it that I was in therapy, but they were like, you got to do something at this point because we do love and care for you. Mm-hmm. But it was like, it was kind of like, oh, like, yeah, Alexis is the mentally ill one, like,
just, Alexis is the mentally ill one.
Yeah.
That's,
I mean, that's the kind of vibe I got. They didn't say that. But.
No, but no, I know the vibe, but I'm not laughing at them. I'm like, wow, that's kind of, you know, cold to even feel that way.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, there were definitely like my dad's a very logical man, great man, but he's very logical and stuck in his conservative ways. And he's like, oh yeah, like you can do therapy, that frilly stuff, but I don't believe in that. And I'm like, okay. He's like, whatever's gonna help you. But he wouldn't be the dad that'd be like, all right, let's go to therapy together. Like, and my mom did therapy with me though, but.
Okay, how was that?
I mean, it was good for me. I think it took a toll on her.
Okay. So. Do you know if she continued or went again after? That was it, she had enough?
Yeah, no, she was telling me like that was the hardest thing she ever done. And she was like, no, I'll just do like recreational therapy. She's like, I don't need to go talk to someone. I'm like,
what's recreational therapy?
I don't really know. I think it's just her talking on the phone with my grandma. Like, my grandma's like, I love her so much. She's 90 years old and my mom kind of like takes care of her. She's just on the phone with her all day, pretty much. I think that's her recreational therapy, yeah. So to speak.
So I know that you mentioned that you guys, your parents were very spiritual and things of that nature. And what I've learned through my practice, well, not just through my practice, first of all, from my own personal experience growing up as a African-American woman and growing up in a Christian household, therapy was very much a taboo. And it sounds like you're saying the same thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were taught things like, no, we don't go to therapy. It's not meant for us. And it was not meant for us as Black people. That's white people stuff. And, you know, they're going to diagnose you. They're going to call you crazy. So for us, it was, no, we take it to the altar. Everything goes to God. Don't let nothing come out this house. Everything that goes on in this house, stay in this house. If you got to talk to somebody, you talk to God and you take it to the altar. Do you feel was that similar in your household?
I mean, you know, I grew up in a white conservative family, like very, very conservative. It wasn't really as much as take it to the altar. It was more so of just like, it's not there. My parents, so like my dad, I'd say is way more Christian. Well, not way more Christian, but my dad is a little bit more conservative than my mom. They're both Christian, but they're not like, you know, like really, really super into it. Like, gotta go to church, gotta read my Bible like every single day. It was more so of like, we have to go to church every Sunday, but like, you know, as long as, you know, you love Jesus, like that's good for us. But because I definitely had friends where it was like way more like intense for them, where it's like, we have to do Bible study, we have to do this.
That's in my household.
Yeah, yeah. So it was more so of like, no, like you're Christian. If you say otherwise, then that's really bad. Talk about emotions. No. So it was more so of just like, we don't talk about it. And
okay, so we don't talk. Now, I've heard you mention several times, family very, very conservative. My family's conservative. Now, we know what year this is here in the United States. It is an election year. Define conservative to us, as in how your family, what do you mean when you say your family is very conservative?
100% Trumpers. 100%. And I'm on the other side of the spectrum. I'm like, we don't talk about politics. I mean, I have before. I've tried many times.
So how did you divert so far, I guess, away from that, and even ending up in like a practice like ours where a supervisor and leader, you know, director, clinical director and things like that is African-American? We're a very diverse group practice, and that is something that is very important to us, is providing, you know, quality and affordable care to all, despite these different aspects that separate us, diversity issues, but also making it, you know, making sure that everyone that comes here is seen, heard, and respected. I mean, that doesn't really align with
how I grew up.
Trump.
Yeah. No, it doesn't. I think it's from my own kind of like how we've talked about before, developmental trauma. Okay. I think it is. Like, I grew up in a very homogenous white Christian, you know, town.
Okay. And where are you from?
I'm from a little bit south of Nashville.
Okay. Tennessee.
Yeah. Oh yeah. 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 But and it was just like, you know, like Southern hospitality, where it's like, oh, like, bless your heart, we'll do anything for you, but then really they're talking shit about you, like behind your back and all of that. And it's all this fake niceness. Like, where I grew up, it was a lot about appearances. And I mean, I'm really blunt and I'm all about being real with people. And I think it was the whole, like, just growing up in that homogenous society and then just seeing, like, the awfulness that comes with that. Okay. That, you know, it made me really value and really want diversity in my life, because, you know, being in kind of an echo chamber can be really harmful and have posed some really, you know, hateful, you know, narratives in people's lives. And I'm just like, this is not me. Like, I think I realized that in high school when I got so depressed, and I'm like, okay, why are people telling me all this bull crap? Like, this is so wrong. Like, everything I've been taught. And I'm just like, this is not me. Yeah.
So how does that resonate with you when you go back home for holidays, or, you know, what? I know you get married soon and I'm going to be at the wedding. I mean, I want to make sure that, you know, they're not having nooses or anything like that on out back for me.
Let's be real. No, it ain't like that.
I got to wear my cowboy boots and my cowboy hat, bring out Beyonce and be like, I'm from Texas. It don't hold them.
That's such a good song. No, they're not like that. I mean, my family is like they still have their weird, like, conservative values, but I mean, they genuinely are loving people. I just think it's the society as a whole with, like, what people would say and stuff, where I'm just like, this is not me. Like, I didn't actually, like, there wasn't, you know, it's not like that. It's not that.
I'm okay. I tell you, I put on my cowboy hat, my cowboy boots. You know, I was born in Dallas, so, you know. Yes, I was born in Dallas, so, you know, I can, you know, giddy on up with them, with the best of them.
Yeah, no.
Swing that elbow, right elbow. We can be line dancing and everything at your wedding.
Yeah, no, it's not like that. And if they ever did anything like that, they know I'd be coming for them.
So I know that you specialize in personality disorders and things of that nature. How is that? And how do you manage? Because that's not even, I mean, I work with personality disorders, but that is not something that I, you know, would take on as just a focus. And so I know you deal a lot with, like, what borderline is it? Borderline personality. So for those who are not familiar with borderline personality and other personality disorders, tell us a little bit about what we should look out to know if either we borderline or our partner or a friend or somebody, you know, is borderline.
Yeah. I think what interests me so much about borderline or BPD is that it can present in so many different ways. Like, and there is this really big stigma to, like, oh, borderline, like, that's intense. And it's like, I just want to remove that stigma so much, because, like, people get judged so much on, like, oh, like, I have, or if someone says, like, I have BPD traits or things like that, because it can mean so many different things. Okay. Like, there was at one point in my life where I'm like, my BPD? Because people can show traits and not actually.
Oh, absolutely. I questioned it in my time too, especially as we're going through academically and in class, and they start reading off all these things, and you're like, well, wait a minute. Slow down a little bit. I checked that one and that one. Am I?
Yeah.
So have you ever worked with someone who was, like, severely borderline?
Yeah.
How was that?
I mean, it can be difficult at times. I mean, but there's also people that I've worked with who, you know, struggle with BPD. And I mean, I know you're not supposed to have favorites, but I'm just like, you are my absolute favorite.
I love you so much.
Yeah. Because it's really all about, you know, there's the mood swings, and then there's, like, issues with attachment.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, again, like, those traits can, like, pop up in so many different parts of your life. So, I mean, along the way, I mean, I feel like almost everyone has had some sort of, like, borderline trait before, where it's like, I don't want to lose this relationship, or, oh my gosh, why am I getting randomly really upset or irritable, or why do I feel empty? You know, I feel like it can be a really relatable.
Okay. So what are some of these borderline traits that people should look out for, that they know that this is a borderline trait?
Yeah. So, like, the really extreme mood swings. So, like, often, like, ups and downs, like, throughout your day, and issues with attachment. So what I mean by that is, like, you know, you're doing these frantic efforts not to lose, like, either romantic relationships or friendships or whatever it may be. So it's like, that may look like staying in a really destructive relationship, even though it's destructive, mm-hmm. because you're afraid of that person abandoning you,
okay.
or leaving you. What else is there? Persistent feelings of emptiness. Sometimes there's, like, major things of rage or dissociation, where you just kind of, like, black out, and that can be due to, like, different roots from trauma. What else is there? Oh, and then a fluctuating sense of identity, of, like, not knowing who you are. So it's kind of like, oh, well, I don't really feel like I have an identity. And, you know, sometimes people who struggle with BPD kind of absorb the identities of people around them. And they just kind of, like, feed off of that. And they're like, oh, maybe I'm like this, or maybe I'm like that. But it's kind of this distress of, I don't know who I am. it's like this lack of sense of self.
Now, I know that typically a lot more women are diagnosed with BPD than men. Why would you say that is?
Well, I mean, I feel like that goes back to maybe some kind of like sexist stuff in history, because I know there's the whole like, oh, women are hysterical and things like that. I think it relates to the past like hysteria diagnosis.
Okay.
And then, I don't know, I mean, women, I guess in society, women are taught to be more focused on relationships, things mm-hmm. like that. So I could see how like it's worded to where, you know, a cisgender woman would be more likely to be diagnosed with that.
Okay, and I was sitting here even as you were talking and I'm listening to, you know, the traits, and I'm like, that happens to all women at least once a month. Women that, you know, still, you know, best way to, who still have their aunt come and visit them once a month. I mean, we're going through the PMS and things like that. When that happens, yeah, we're up and down, mood swings, we got the attachment, no way. I'm like, she was just describing me. At least, you know, at least for 1 week out of the month. So I guess 1 week out of the month, I have borderline personality disorder. How does it differ? Do you see the symptoms differ in males with borderline?
Yeah, I mean, I think it depends. So with males I've worked with who have borderline, I guess it's been, I mean, it has been like the, oh, please don't leave me, like the mm-hmm. frantic efforts of please don't leave me in the relationship. Mm-hmm. I guess more so in men, I see the lack of emotion, lack okay. of emotional experience. I'd say the emptiness part is probably what men talk more about when working with men who struggle with BPD, as well as just communication issues and not knowing how to communicate their emotions.
Okay. Okay. Now, I was just reading an article about these two gentlemen who was arrested here in Georgia. And they were arrested for setting off a bomb in a house. It was the house of one of their ex-girlfriends. And then conspiracy to do other crimes. So not only did they set off the bomb, they was conspiring to send animal feces to mail it to her home. They had conspired to like, she had like a young daughter, like 7-year-old child or something like that. And they conspired to getting a python and letting it off in their house so it can eat the daughter and all of this wild stuff. This is because I guess the woman no longer wanted to date the young man. I think she said that they had met like online. They dated or talked. They talked for like a couple of weeks, and when she broke things off is when he detonated the bomb. And she just bought the house. They had just moved in, brand new construction, had just moved in, and they detonated a bomb off and then had the conspiracy to do all these other things. Now listen to kind of saying what you were saying about borderline in men, the erraticness, the, you know, maybe fear of, you know, loss or rejection. What would you diagnose maybe someone with just hearing that kind of profile of a person like that? Would you say that aligns with borderline? I mean, I know as mental health professionals, we're not supposed to use the, you know, the C word, but it, you know, it's really just ringing. Yeah, he was batshit.
Yeah, honestly, I don't know, because it's like, I mean, yeah, there's that upset that this person abandoned them, but I mean, still, it's like people with borderline, who struggle with borderline, still experience empathy. And guilt. And so it's like, okay, him setting off a bomb in this lady's house.
There was no envy there. He was just off the rip.
I would say maybe more so like antisocial. going towards that?
I don't even know how he even got a friend to, you know, to do it with him. Like, who says to your friend, hey, yeah, this my ex, I want to do all this stuff. And they're like, okay, let's go.
I don't know. I mean, it sounds like maybe he has some borderline traits, but I don't know if, like, that's the main issue that's going on there.
Got it. So, yeah. Okay. So, no, maybe some borderline traits, but definitely didn't the lack of empathy would maybe say it was something else that was maybe more severe.
I mean, or it could just be like him acting off his emotional mind right there. Just acting off his emotions and really not thinking about the consequences. I mean, that he could have felt bad about it later, but I don't know.
Looking at the news article, don't seem like he, you know, he on a mugshot, he was their cheese and they both were their cheese. So I don't think they felt too bad, you know.
Lord.
about it. So let me ask you, so you specialize in personality disorders. You're from a small town below Nashville, Tennessee. You're a certified hypnotherapist. How does your family take you being in a therapist yourself and being in practice?
They ask a lot of questions, for sure. there's that, what is it called? There's that show called Shrinking on... I think it's on Apple TV or something. Have you heard of it?
I have not.
Apparently, it's this whole show about this therapist who, like, he's trying to counsel people, but his whole life is falling apart.
Mm-hmm.
And my parents, like, all the time, they're like, Alexis, you need to watch that show. It's so good. We just think this is probably what, you know, your life is like. Well, I mean, my life's not falling apart, but... it's so funny because, like, they'll just ask me questions and my mom will be like, you're reading my mind right now. And I'm like, that's not how it works. I'm like, I don't, just because I got a degree doesn't mean I can read your mind now.
I'm not saying nothing around Alexis.
Yeah, no.
She is analyzing everything we say and now she can read minds.
Yeah, that's pretty much what sometimes my mom is like. I mean, my dad isn't, like, super interested in it. He's all like, yeah, it's a pseudoscience. Like,
oh, it's not even a real science.
Oh, yeah, no, literally, when I was going off to undergrad, he was like, oh, yeah, I mean, you can, like, major in psychology, but just know it's a waste of time. And, you know, you can live with us when you're done because you're not going to have a job. And I was like, oh, okay.
Well, at least he said the house is still open for you to come back.
Yeah.
You know, at least, you know, that was, you know, you always got somewhere to come home to.
Yeah, for sure.
So if someone was interested in doing therapy with you or exploring hypnotherapy, or they may even have questions about borderline personality, how can they find you?
Yeah, so you can find me on outoftheboxccc.com. And my profile is listed on there under staff. It's under Alexis Solomon. And it says on my little fun blurb and how you can email me, call me.
Okay, well, wonderful. Well, you guys make sure that you visit our website, outoftheboxccc.com, and contact Alexis Solomon if you are interested in hypnotherapy, you have questions about borderline personality, or you just want to get therapy from this cool chick. Thank you guys again for another episode of Dr. O After Dark. Until next time.